You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Gym Class, a Wednesday midweek edition here on KGYM. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes from the studios in the southwest side. Isaac here as well across the glass in the other room looking at us here today, as always, and doing a bang-up job. We got a great show for you. Mark Ironside will join us. We'll talk college wrestling. We'll take a look back at the high school state tournaments from Mark's perspective. We'll take a look ahead to the Big Tens coming up in the offing. Also, we'll take a look back at Iowa's senior day against Oklahoma State from last Sunday afternoon. All that and more coming up with Mark here in just a little bit. Also going to preview Iowa and Wisconsin tonight. Big Ten men's basketball from the Kohl Center in Madison. Last night, both the Iowa State men and the Iowa women fall on the road in big games. And we will discuss with you, our listener out there. Love to talk with you today. Can do it via the text line or the phone line. Both numbers the same, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And love to, again, to hear from you today. Gym Class is presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com, their website, and stop on by any of their great locations around the corridor or around eastern Iowa here. So we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker on a potentially ugly weather Wednesday here around eastern Iowa. And depending where you are and where you're listening to us today, it's either rain, sleet, freezing rain, or just plain snow. But in any event, please use caution if you do need to go out. There's many more things that are canceled or postponed than they're actually going on today. And at least right now in the Cedar Rapids area, roads are wet. Some places it is a little bit tricky, but for the most part, everything is okay. If you go onto a side street especially, or if there is an area that is a little bit exposed, maybe a little bit higher than another area, that is going to freeze a little bit quicker, et cetera, et cetera. Don't go screaming up, even though it is rainy, because it could change at any moment. Don't go screaming up to an intersection and expect your car's brakes to work. Use a little caution out there today. Give your neighbor a break. How are you, Mark?
I'm good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and everyone out there, Isaac. And, yeah, I can tell you from experience just a few minutes ago that I don't live very far from the studio, but as I left out the back door, the sidewalk leading from the house to the garage was a little slippery.
Yeah.
But I can tell, and I live on a side street, so it was fine. It was wet, 6th Street, wet. But don't take that to the bank quite yet. I think we're on the, where we are on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, kind of on the southern end of things. I read earlier, Okoboji got 8-plus inches of snow. Today it could be worse, but we'll see how we progress throughout the day here. And as you said, many events postponed, including your game tonight you plan to cover.
Yeah.
Among other things,
which we will get to before 4 o'clock here today. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. We do very much appreciate it. Start things off with college basketball from last night. Iowa State, not a good first half performance. Maybe, I would say, at least in Big 12 play, other than maybe the last 4 or 5 minutes of the Oklahoma State game, that was probably the, I hate saying worse, but it was not a good 20 minutes last night in Austin, Texas to start that game, offensively and especially defensively for Iowa State. Even John and Eric were talking about it on the broadcast last night that Iowa State's defense just was not up to snuff in the first half, and Iowa State dug themselves a hole they could not get out of in a road loss to a very good Texas team last night in Austin.
Yeah, it's a top 10 team. 72-54, the Longhorns win by 18 points, which was the deficit at halftime for Iowa State. Just a horrible first half, generally speaking. Poor shooting, 4 out of 19. From three-point range. Is this really a number three seed in the country?
Well, they were going in
based on last night.
No, they were going into last night. Joe Lunardi had Iowa State a three with an arrow going up. Was very high in Iowa. Iowa State is still probably, I mean, they drop maybe a line, but if you're the number one three seed, as the committee let us know on Saturday, my guess is that Iowa State probably didn't fall off the three line. And I'm with you. I'm not so sure this is a three seed right now. I think, what, 3 out of 5 now they've lost? The offense, we know this is a team that is not going to light up the scoreboard. They've got to win with guts, passion, and defense. And they just didn't bring that last night. And give Texas credit. Texas played a good first half. No doubt about it. Carr is terrific. We know what Tyrese Hunter can do. That's a good basketball team.
It is. But we talked earlier, Iowa State and others in the Big 12 kind of riding the coattails of the conference. It has more quad one wins than any other conference in the country. The average net is below 30. Last I looked. Of all the teams in the league, and, you know, teams like Texas Tech, West Virginia, others are benefiting from the strength of the league. Maybe that's fine.
You just mentioned Texas Tech. Red Raiders, I think, what, 5 in a row right now they have won Texas Tech, or 4 in a row, 5-10 now, 16-12 overall. But the net is 49, and they have moved into first four out. Big 12 maybe looking at 9 now. Oh, West Virginia is also a 5-10 conference team at this point. The only team that is out, unless they win the conference tournament, is Oklahoma.
And that's Iowa State's opponent on Saturday.
Yeah, and that is one at home. You got to get well. I mean, that is the Minnesota game for Iowa State, is Oklahoma. And boy, that Porter Moser would do bigger things in Norman than he has done so far. Maybe it's coming. Who knows? But he's going to have to do it in the SEC. 90-49 on the text line. Somehow got the Longhorn Network last night. They are not impressed. Agree with Jamie Pollard that they cannot leave soon enough. The Texas Longhorns, I believe. I don't know. I have to respectfully differ. I think that's a good Texas team. I think they might make some noise in the NCAA tournament. Can they win the regular season title? Right now, it's probably head-to-head between Kansas and Texas. They have a 2-game lead on the rest of the conference. Iowa State right now in solo fifth. At 8-7, Cyclone 17-10, but they only dropped 3 in the net. They go from 15-18 with the loss last night. So that's, you know, that's what the Big 12 can do for you. And the same thing as far as we talked about Texas Tech, you know, 49 with a 5-10 conference record, 49 net, because the net goes up every time they play somebody in their conference, and win or lose, it goes up. Even though Texas Tech had a horribly easy non-conference schedule. Same as Northwestern, right in that ballpark, and Northwestern is still only a 7, and they're second in the Big Ten. That is the mystery I cannot solve, ladies and gentlemen. when it comes to bracketology?
Well, when you get it all sorted out, let me know.
I will not. Isaac's laughing at me. 319-366-1600. What'd you think last night? Iowa State and Texas as the Cyclones fall on the road last night in Austin. Also falling last night, the Iowa women in a big way. Also not a very good first half as Maryland played it really well. And especially in that second quarter, jumped out on the Hawkeyes, 20-point game or thereabouts at halftime, and it really was never threatened after that.
Second quarter, really a problem for the Iowa women, and maybe its worst game of the year, 96-68. 24 turnovers, 11 out of 38. 11 out of 38. From three-point range.
I understand when you get behind by that margin, you need to start cranking them up, but that's an awful lot of three-point shots.
But what I saw was Lisa Bluter, they had her mic on in the huddle. First half, start of the second, I'm not quite sure. But she implored her team to run the offense. We're not giving ourselves a chance. You know, inside, outside, whatever, we're making it easy on them. Play resumes, and within 5 or 10 seconds, McKenna Warnock casts up a three and missed, like most of them did last night. Maryland shot it well, played well, nothing against Maryland. You get a split against Maryland.
That's fine.
Most years, that's pretty good.
That's fine.
But it does take a bit of luster off Sunday. I know College Game Day is not going to cancel its plans to come, but Iowa does not have a chance to at least share the Big Ten championship. It's tied for Maryland with Maryland right now for second.
Yeah, and I believe two games. Indiana's got it.
Yeah.
Indiana's going to be the one seed going into the Big Ten women's tournament. Iowa and Maryland are on a collision course for matchup number three. If chalk holds as far as the Big Ten women's basketball tournament is concerned. And there are going to be some teams that are hungry in that tournament that you have to be careful for, that are on the bubble as far as the women's bracket is concerned. And that's what both Brenda Fries and Lisa Bluter have to be concerned about before they even can look ahead to a possible semifinal matchup at the tournament. It'd be fun, though, on a neutral court. With Iowa and Maryland.
Yeah, I think so. For the first time in a while, maybe this season, I just thought Iowa got out of sorts. And Maryland had a lot to do with that. But as the deficit grew larger, Iowa got more desperate.
I would agree. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class on KGYM, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Iowa men in action. We're going to get to that before 4 o'clock here, and Mark Ironside is going to be joining us as well here in the studio. And while we get ready for a break, I'm going to throw it to you, Mark, for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are open at 4 o'clock, and stop on by. They've got great food. And you can wet your whistle at the bar right there. Open at 4, as we mentioned. They're online at emilshideaway.com.
A Honda Classic on the PGA Tour starts tomorrow. Zach Johnson of Cedar Rapids tees off at 11:18 with Patrick Harrington and Luke Donald. Harrington, one of 12 individuals today named as finalists for the World Golf Hall of Fame. Cedar Rapids Rough Riders play a hockey game outdoors here in about 90 minutes. They will face Youngstown at First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, home of the Browns.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That is cool, cool, cool.
The NBA All-Star Game got its worst television ratings ever. Far below the MLB All-Star Game and the NFL Series of Skills Challenges. The worst ever. Brock Purdy, the former Iowa State quarterback who had a great run with the 49ers late in the season, has postponed his elbow surgery due to inflammation. He and his doctors will revisit the issue in March.
Next month.
Yeah.
Or next week.
Or next week. Or next week. It's coming. March,
yeah, it is. March Madness is around the corner. Also, postponements. State bowling today postponed until tomorrow up at Cadillac Lanes in Waterloo. I think everything around the state of Iowa is postponed for 1A and 2A girls regional final basketball tonight. They will try again tomorrow for that. And I guess we got our storm early this year, earlier than the girls state basketball tournament week.
Let's hope that's the case.
I peeked ahead to the forecast, and I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
For next week. I think we're going to be okay for next week. Knock on wood, I am not going to ever put that in stone, but right now it looks okay.
Xavier got in last night. Tough game against Western Dubuque, which you called.
Yeah.
And
that's the best 18 loss team I have ever seen.
Bend Community, Clear Creek, Amana. Who am I missing?
Vince Ellsberg, Solon.
Yeah.
Who else? You mentioned Xavier. Decorah from Northeast Iowa is in as well.
Northwind was scheduled to play Montezuma tonight, a game you were going to call. But that game's tomorrow, right?
At Van Horn.
Yeah.
Coming up tomorrow. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and Mark Ironside joins us when we return after this here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have ice continuing to lead to tough travel through this afternoon and evening. Freezing rain that will be persistent and heavy at times is going to lead to accumulation up to a quarter of an inch of ice. That will lead to slick travel as well as the potential for power outages due to ice on power lines and trees. Winds are going to be picking up as we head through this evening and through the day tomorrow. That could continue to lead to those issues. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back, the sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit MFAM.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
When you buy your own health insurance, you deserve a doctor who's your biggest champion and coverage you can be confident in. And with new Wellmark health insurance plans featuring Unity Point Health, that's what you can expect. These plans help you build a relationship with your Unity Point Health primary care providers and network partners, starting with free preventive and virtual care, plus low copays for primary care with a doctor who always has your back. Connect with an agent to help you enroll at wellmark.com/UPH.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
.322 back with you on the Gym Class, KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it. Iowa State women's basketball tonight as they go to Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State. 6 o'clock with the pregame, about 6:35 with tip-off for that one. Okie State playing pretty good basketball right now. So is Iowa State. Bill Fenley's team has got things going right now in the right direction. Still a 5 seed right now as far as Charlie Cream is concerned with bracketology on the women's side. But we've got it tonight, 6 o'clock for you right here on KGYM. Right now we have Mark Ironside joining us, and his appearance is brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. And Kurt located, he is right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee on the northwest side on Johnson Avenue Northwest. As Mark joins us here, the eastern and central Iowa traveler.
I have been.
Today, you're the road warrior, man.
I have been, and I've had absolutely zero issues. The road crews out there have done a phenomenal job today. So both on the main interstates and highways, and even the kind of the side highways and stuff, I haven't had no issues, and I've been all over the eastern and western side of the state today.
Awesome. Yeah. Hats off to those folks, because they work long hours
tirelessly yesterday afternoon through the night today. So they've done a great job.
Very good.
Senior day Sunday. On the one hand, I can see Oklahoma State maybe giving people some problems at the NCAA tournament. A lot of close matches. Iowa prevailed in 8 out of 10. And while you'd like to see bigger wins, there were some important wins in there for Iowa in terms of perhaps national seeding, I think. Nelson Brands, for one.
Yeah, I think that the Iowa team did what they have not been able to do all year long, and that is win most all the close matches and the swing matches that could go either way. I mean, it started out at 65. That Sheets from Okie State that Patrick Kennedy wrestled, even though he's not ranked, he had a 12-11 record coming in. He had gone either overtime or a 1 or 2 point match with the top 3 ranked guys in the country.
He's in like his 7th year.
Yeah, he's been around forever, and he's darn good. And he just, I think, sometimes just doesn't really care. Kind of got off to a slow start. I think he had some weight issues, cutting his weight wrong. But he's getting it together, and he's the type of guy to where if he's not ranked at all right now, which he's not, and you're top any seed, anything, like top 8 seed especially, and you have him as a first round match, you better be ready to go right out of the gate. Because he's going to be a very unfortunate draw for somebody right out of the gate, because he's a lot better than a 12-11 and unseeded, because that was a big match for Patrick, and he had some adversity. He got taken down on a great shot of his own, and Sheets doesn't have really a whole lot of offense, but his defense is so solid, and that was for a lot of the Oklahoma State team, to be honest with you. I was really surprised in a lot of their matches, even when they were down 2-3 points with, the last minute of the match to go, they didn't ever really get to their offense. I mean, they didn't really go for broke.
No.
So their defense was kind of looking like that was kind of their offense. And the Iowa guys did a great job and won pretty much all the swing matches that could go either way. They all went our way. But they went our way because we made it happen. We didn't just kind of let it come down to a coin flip and just kind of, just hope for the best or whatever. And that's how we've lost a lot of those matches this year. We went out and we scored takedowns and we put pressure on them, and we sounded the bell, and that was what we needed to do. And it was really good to see. 65, 74, 84, Assad back in the lineup, looked awesome. Another hard-fought, tough match there. 97, Warner, I was really glad to see him wrestle and get the W on senior day in front of the home crowd, but he won on a locked hands call. Had that locked hands call not happened, I don't know what would have happened there. I'd like to see him, wrestling a guy that he should be able to beat soundly, win a little bit more dominantly, but he got it. And I mean, it is what it is. The rules are rules. I mean, they didn't argue at all. He locked his hands. So
yeah, it was close. It was a perfect call.
Yeah. Serber was a heavyweight last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he came down from heavyweight last year, and he's okay. He's decent. But Warner's so much better than him, and that's what's hard and frustrating at times, is that Warner has so much more to give, and he's better than that. I think sometimes it's just a matter of him understanding it and believing it and knowing it. So, and Cassiope, he won 4-0, took an easy win. It's just an easy Sunday afternoon drive out there for him is what it looked like, but we need to be scoring more points in those types of matches. How I look at that match is, at the end of the first period, we were up 2-0 with 2 minutes and 2 seconds of riding time. We chose top, and then at the end of the second period, we were still up 2-0 with 4 minutes and 2 seconds of riding time, which gained us absolutely nothing.
Mm-mm.
We didn't score any points. We didn't increase our lead at all in the second period. I don't understand why in that situation. I mean, you wrestle Mason Paris, you freaking get on top of him, and you're ahead 2-0, and you got riding time. Keep him down,
yeah.
I mean, ride till the cows come home. But in a situation like that, keep improving your wrestling. Cut him. Take him down a couple few times. Open it up. That's how you could take a guy from his feet to his back and, maybe get some near fall points. And he never even came close to getting a turn. It just kind of, creates boring wrestling. And then, so he gets his escape in the third period and then never really tried to score after that again either. So just did what we had to do, kind of hee-ho-hum, I mean, it's what we got. That's our heavyweight, but you're not going to be that guy that, if it wasn't for senior night, or senior afternoon, I should say, if I'm a heavyweight and I walk out in the tunnel, I don't want to see people walking up the stairs. And if you wrestle like that, people are going to walk up the stairs. They're going to be exiting the building, leaving. You want to be the heavyweight to where it doesn't matter if the dual meet as a whole has already been, you know, solidified and it's a big win for the Hawks, or if it comes down to heavyweight, you don't want anybody in that place, you know, leaving their seat because they want to watch you wrestle because you're entertaining, you're fun to watch, and you try it as hard as you can to put points on the scoreboard. And that's what we just need to get. And the other thing is, for himself personally, you're not getting any better wrestling like what he wrestled like on Sunday. You're just not. You're not getting any better. You didn't learn anything. You didn't prove it all. You didn't prove your position. You didn't prove the score, really. And I'm not trying to, you know, be too hard on him, but it just keeps happening. And we've kind of hit a plateau there. And we if we're going to beat Mason Paris and we're going to beat Kirk Liet, I mean, we've got to keep getting better. And I just don't know if we are right now right there. Same kind of thing goes for Real Woods, to be honest with you. At the end of the first period, he gets a till. He's up 7-0.
Yeah.
He also had the exact same amount of riding time as Cassiope, 2 minutes and 2 seconds. Second period, they go into the second period, he's up 7-0 with 2 minutes riding time. His guy picks neutral. Guess what? The end of the second period, still 7-0 with 2 minutes, 2 seconds riding time. We gained nothing. We didn't even try to get any points in the second or the third period. And now, I understand Oklahoma State didn't either. They're down 7-0, 8-0 with riding time, and you'd have thought they're up 8-0. But who cares what about them? You worry about yourself, you know? And we just took the easy road from there and just hung out and played the game. And that's, but the thing is, Okie State, he wasn't pressuring us at all. So it's like, well, why do I got to wrestle if, you know, keep lighting that scoreboard up. You got to light it up. And that's just not going to get you to that next level. Real Woods is for sure, hands down. I mean, 141-pound weight class is wide open.
That's a guy that can win
a national title.
Yep.
And if you want to really, you know, keep conditioning yourself, keep improving yourself, those types of matches, keep wrestling. Keep learning. Keep improving. Keep working on things, you know? And not only that, you start teching people instead of majoring people, getting an easy major, those opponents of yours, they're going to take notice. They're going to notice that stuff. They're like, damn it, I don't want to have to wrestle him at the Big Tens or the Nationals. I mean, they don't. But when they see you continue to keep wrestling close matches and you're not really going to push the pace, heck, they know that going in. Come second, third period, they're good with it too. So, I don't know. You got to think about a lot of different things. And no matter what, you just want to – you want to win. How I look at it is you want to win every period. We won the first period at 141. We won the first period at heavyweight. Okay? At the second period at both those weights, it was a draw. We didn't win. We didn't lose, but we didn't win. Third period, both those weights, we both won on escapes. We gained 1 point in the third period. So we won, but not handily.
Not the way you want to do it.
Brody Teske, that was a guy that wrestled his tail off. I just felt bad. I shouldn't say I felt bad, but Brody Teske wrestled a really good match. He had Fix on the ropes a little bit. Fix was getting tired, and he was wrestling Fix unbelievable scrambles. The reason Fix was tired is because we kept getting this great scrambles and coming out of stuff and putting ourselves in scoring position, and Fix would have to scramble out, and that's what gets a guy tired, not just physically, but also mentally and from an anxiety level as well, too. It fatigues you when you're in those scramble situations. And then, kind of like the RBY deal, he took a shot that was forced from a long ways away and put himself in bad position. And then on top of that, he kind of doubled down on his mistake by trying to hold on for way too long and not give up the takedown. They ended up giving up near fall. So, yeah, we lost 11-3, but that score does not dictate how that match should have, could have, would have been if he had wrestled a little bit smarter and stayed the course and not panicked when there was quite so much time left on the clock. And then at 57, we lost a nail biter overtime. It was the first time Kobe Seabrook's had a shoulder brace on all year long. Yeah. So obviously there's something going on there, but you could tell he wasn't himself in that match. He really, really wasn't himself. And so hopefully that's something.
He's a guy I don't want to face either.
No, you definitely don't want to face him.
If he's healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Relatively healthy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And he's fun to watch, and he's funky and stuff, but he just didn't have his mojo that match against Okie State. And so there's obviously, you know, wearing the shoulder brace, something going on there. So I just hope that he can learn to wrestle through that or around that, so to speak, come Big Tens and Nationals. Because at this point, whatever it is, I mean, obviously,
you
got to
wrestle with it.
Yeah, you're going. And so no matter what, you're going. So let's just figure it out and do the best you can and work on healing up afterwards, because there's not a lot of time to heal between now and then. So
no, there is not. And a couple things here. First of all, I guess it worked out, but I was a little surprised that they didn't start at 125. But I guess it's good, because then you didn't have Spencer coming out there and doing his thing. And, like, if you went to get an ice cream cone, you missed the whole thing. So, you know, having Spencer right in the middle there actually maybe may have played out better.
I think it hurt the concessions a little bit at break. Like, I ain't going nowhere.
He was right after
I'm not going to stand in no ice cream line right now.
He was
I'm
right, like, after intermission.
Yeah, they're like, those ice cream lines were probably, you know, half the length of what they normally are at intermission. And if you weren't and you were still up in the ice cream line, maybe you could watch on the big video board or something, but you missed it because it didn't last long, a whole whopping 51 seconds, and Spencer Lee does what Spencer Lee does. And I'll tell you what, that Whitcraft came out after him. He came out wanting to not just, like, score on it, but he wanted to score big on Spencer, and he actually locked up kind of like a cow catcher whip over type of move on Spencer and had Spencer in a little bit of trouble. And Spencer just made it look like it's no big deal. He just posted with his hand, cartwheeled over, put Whitcraft to his back, and pinned him. Whereas most people, they've been probably put to their back in that situation. Like, people don't realize how dangerous of a situation that was for Spencer. Well, maybe not for Spencer, but for anybody else. Like, Whitcraft, he was taking him over. And yeah. Spencer just, I mean, that's what makes Spencer good. You don't have time to think in situations like that. If Spencer started thinking, he would have been on his back. It was just a natural, quick reaction, hand down, goes with the momentum, and cartwheels over, and that's what makes Spencer Lee, Spencer Lee.
Couple questions from Jim, very loyal listener every day, but particularly your segment. Wanted to compliment you on your work on the TV, on the Iowa High School Tournament. First question is, wrestlers get called for stalling if a bigger guy is strong enough to shove them off the mat. Why is that? And to me, it's more like sumo wrestling instead of high school wrestling.
Well, that goes at all levels. I mean, high school makes it look bad. There's not a stalling call for pushing a guy off the mat or fleeing the mat in high school. Like, what I mean, there's a technical violation in high school for fleeing the hold. But correct. If you're both on your feet and you don't circle in, it's not an automatic stall call in high school like what it is in college, but it is, and you even take it to another level, it's an international, like world wrestling, world championships, Olympic championships, freestyle wrestling. You get pushed out of bounds, it's not a stall call, that's a point. And a lot of people think that's where college wrestling should go too. I don't think so. I don't agree with that. I don't think we should have a push-out rule at all. I don't think we should even have a rule in college to where if you're double undering a guy and you just kind of bully him out of bounds and all of a sudden he can't really circle in, but so he doesn't circle in, and so that's just an automatic stall call. I don't agree with that rule either. I think it should come down to the referee just knowing when the wrestling's going on inside the circle of who's actually stalling and not. And if they both are stalling and nobody's doing a darn thing, call them both for stalling.
Ring them both.
Yeah, ring them both up. If you guys don't want to be here, boom, stall call. Boom, stall call. Boom, stall call. See ya next. Let's go.
Till somebody starts.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how it should be. And unfortunately, right now, the way that the rules are, especially in college, it takes a lot of that away from the referee so that they don't get screamed and yelled at by the coaches. And it's just like, hey, that's the rule. You didn't circle in, so hey, there's your stall call. You know? So to answer your question, It's a lot of just a judgmental thing in high school, whereas college, it's more of it's an actual rule. But they have to make an attempt to circle in, and if they don't, then that's when you're going to get hit for stalling.
Second question from Jim. You take me down, not a surprise if you're Ironside. You take me down and do a parallel ride on top, perhaps holding a wrist that prevents me from getting back to my base. The top person does nothing to try and turn the bottom person over, but is just content to sit on top and keep the bottom from getting up, and yet the bottom man and is inevitably called for stalling when the top man is also stalling. Would not a stalemate be more appropriate?
For sure. I agree with that. You know, I mean, if you go back to the you go back to the Cassiope versus Mason Paris when he got taken down with, like, I don't know if it was like 40 seconds left on the clock or something like that, and Paris rode his parallel the whole entire time. They never called Paris for stalling. They didn't call us for stalling either. I think that they should have done more. They should have either called a stalemate and got a fresh start, or called the top guy for stall. So basically how it is, the top guy has to, you can't ride totally 100% parallel where I am covering, basically my two legs are straddling your legs, okay? I have to be off to one side or other, where my two legs could be straddling one of your legs, but then your other leg is completely free to build, bring that knee up and to post on it, and then build your base up underneath you. That's the rule. Like, you can't ride parallel. If you are, then you need to be, you know, attempting a turn or doing something, and it just doesn't happen. Like, even if they grab a wrist, that's a fake, you know. And the referees are smart enough to see that. It should be, so to answer Jim's question, it should be called a lot more often, and that's what's frustrating for the sport for me too to watch, is that stalling just is not called. I mean, now you're seeing guys riding ankles, Penn State for sure against us when we wrestled them, riding ankles till the cows come home. I mean, Kirkley rode Cassiope with hooked an ankle with one leg and grabbed his ankle with the other hand for like a minute, and nothing. Like, I don't get it. I really, really don't get it. And honestly, it motivates me. It makes me want to be a referee. It really does. To show how this – it doesn't have to be this hard. But the only thing – the other thing is it's bad for the sport of wrestling. That's what I don't like about it, is because it's bad for the sport of wrestling. There's no action going on. Like Jim said, worst case scenario, stalemate it, fresh start. And if it happens again, then you start calling people. You start calling the bottom guy. Now, going back to the Cassiope thing – Cassiope, when he was against Paris, wasn't doing enough on the bottom to really, like, really try to get that knee up underneath and really trying to push off and post off his hands to get his base up underneath him. So if he's doing that and really trying to get out there, then that's when it's going to really look bad for Paris, and they're going to call Paris. But when we're just kind of laying there and feeling sorry for ourselves because it was a close match, we just got taken down, there's only 30, 40 seconds left in the match, I lost – You're not going to get that stall call. You're just not.
You got to sell it, man.
But not just sell it. I don't like that word because.
But you got to go for it.
You got to go for it. You got to literally put attempts. It's like, it's no different than if you're on the feet. You know, so many times people, like when we wrestled Penn State, you know, people were constantly talking to me about, like, oh my God, I can't believe Penn State didn't get called for stalling in this match or that match or whatever. You know, I could see it. You know, they probably could have got called for stalling. But at the same time, we're not doing enough to warrant that stall call. A little, like, just kind of put your hand down and slap at the knee, that's not doing enough. Like, we're not really on the – even though we're winning the hand-fighting battle, you have to do more from a legit offensive standpoint, creating angles, hitting shots, dropping to your knees, trying to lock your hands around a leg, trying to come up and finish. But when you're just kind of, like, just slapping a leg – referee's not going to call that. You got to make him. You got to force that referee. You got to make it so relevant and just so, like, open that they don't have a choice. But, yeah, that guy's stalling. And we just sometimes don't do that. And it's just like, you know, when you got someone on the ropes and they're tired and they're getting fatigued or whatever, you don't let up. Kind of like what we're talking with Cassiope and Real Woods. You don't let up. And then just kind of let him hang out. You freaking bury him. You push him over the cliff. You push him over the edge. You take advantage of the situation. Don't, like, just, you're going to take it easy, so will I. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't know. I'm getting carried away. Thanks, Jim.
7993 says, need to start calling stalling on guys who just hook ankles and sit.
Oh, we've already covered that.
Yep. you will second that
motion. You make
motion.
It sound easy to get up from the bottom.
I don't make it sound easy. It's not easy, especially if the guy's riding parallel. It's really difficult, but you got to put effort into it. But if a guy is over just, you know, like, he's just riding one leg, you got your whole entire other leg to bring that knee up and then push your weight over that knee, and then you start bringing your other leg up and freeing it. Now, obviously, that's harder, you know, said than done, but that's an opportunity. That's what you do. I mean, that's what every good wrestler does. And if a guy's riding on one side and you're not doing anything to bring your knee up underneath or whatever, you'll never get the stall call from the guy on top, you know? So,
Jim, you know. Thanks you.
Jim, thank you, Jim.
Well, thanks for listening and watching, Jim.
You bet. Nationally, Missouri beats Iowa State. Iowa State falls to 5. North Carolina State's up to 3rd now. They've been that high before, but they've been kind of, I mean, they don't wrestle anyone.
No,
that's
they
the
don't.
Thing.
And they don't.
They've done this in the past. They've been up to 3, and they just don't finish there.
They don't. There's no way. They don't deserve a third ranking for sure. Plus, they're pretty wounded right now. They're beat up. They're hurt. They're 6-year seniors. And that's the other thing is, some of these older guys, these 6-year senior guys, they're just, their bodies are so beat up by the time. I mean,
oh,
it all
God, yes.
Sounds good and fun to, you know, have a 60 year and stuff. But by the time you get there, it's like, dang, this is.
As long as you're on that, and I said I'd bring it up Monday.
You would. Are you, are you within,
move,
yes, are you within arm's length?
This transpired from discussions I've had with people about college wrestling. And the fact that there's going to be 5-time All-Americans, 5-time medalists, 5-time whatevers. I'm going to back off on Spencer Lee because he's only been in 3 national tournaments, right?
Correct.
Correct.
So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt going for 4. But doesn't that sound strange to you? 5-timers? Or are you just, yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
What am I going to do about it? You know, I think the NCAA really, 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 let's not use the word I want to use.
No, let's not.
they messed up, okay? They messed up bad. But at this point, what do you do? I mean, you ain't going to go back and change it. It is what it is. So, I mean.
I mean, they wrestled darn near that whole season, if I remember right.
Yeah, they wrestled the Big Ten championships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, worst case scenario, go back to the tournament and, okay, no fans. Just put the referees in there, the scores people, and the wrestlers and wrestle it out. It would have saved so much issues of, like, where we're at now. I mean, so many issues and controversies and conflicts, and it just, you know what? But they're too weak. They were too weak to do what was right, in
hindsight,
my opinion.
Hindsight 2020. Yeah.
Yeah, and you wouldn't even have to look at hindsight, but that's just me. I know that's just me. We went on that whole ordeal back when it happened and caught some flack on that, but that's just me. And everything's hindsight. But I mean, you look like a guy like Alex Marinelli, you know, he's in the 4-timer league for Big Ten champions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his freshman year, he got 6th. So, but now all of a sudden he's a 4-time Big Ten champion. He'll go down in history as a 4-time Big Ten champion. To me, I don't think that's, I mean, good, he's a 4-timer, he won it last year, great, but I don't think he is really considered like a 4-timer. I mean, Tom Brands was a 3-timer. You give him another year, you think he wins a Big Ten title the year he won the world championships? Probably betting so. He probably would have been a 4-timer too. But that's not Alex's fault. Well, it's his fault that he
took advantage of it.
It's his fault that he could have been a 5-timer, let's say that. You know, it's his fault he didn't win it as a freshman. He got 6th. But it's not his fault. He didn't make the rule up, you know. So it just, I don't know.
Took advantage of it. There you go. You didn't get taken down, Mark Dukes. So, you know, that's a win.
It's the way I phrased it. Mark made no move toward me. I think Mark's comfortable. It just is what it is.
Yep. It is, yeah. It's done.
Yeah. There's no, it's just, you don't. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it's done. It's over. Decision's made. Move on. It is what it is. Here we are, you know? And it's only going to be this way for another how many more years for people? How many, you know, how many more years they got left? Well, I'm talking about
class is right now. It's, oh, gosh, it'd be your junior right now.
I think your junior right now would be the last one, I think. So, like, for Iowa, Teske could have another year.
Yeah.
Real Woods could have another year. I believe Cassiope could have another year. And I think Nelson Brands, and I don't know where Assad's at. I can't remember if he's a junior or I think he might be in that same boat too. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
2794 says really like that Mark tells it like it is. Well, you're welcome.
Yeah. Mark always
maybe tell it like that.
It is.
It's right Dukes. There. That is Mark Dukes 100%. That's why we like Mark Dukes and the questions he brings up. So I try not to hide it. I mean, it is what it is. You know, I'll tell you right or wrong, I guess, and it gets me in trouble sometimes, but there's just, I don't know, that's how my dad raised me, I guess.
Yeah.
Big Ten's are, and all the basically conference championships coming up a week from this coming weekend. So everyone's getting kind of ready to go, healed up, getting whatever they had to take care of, getting that ready to go. Correct.
Yep. Yep. Everything's coming up. Everybody's conferences, and it is what it is. I know that this time of year, I was just having a conversation with Patrick Kennedy yesterday, and it's just like so boring because it's just like
you back off the mat
a lot. You don't have a lot of time on the mat. You know, you're very smart at what you do. You're not going to gain a lot of conditioning or anything like that between, you know, in a week. You know, so it's just you prevent injuries. You have, you know, very minimal hard goes, just conditioning. You have to maintain your weight. And it's just like by the time you get to the Big Tens, and then after the Big Tens, it's the same thing before the Nationals. It's like you cannot wait to finally get back on that mat and wrestle live and get after it again. So
your big takeaways from the state tournament.
Some great matches.
Mm. Arnold and Nakaborn.
Yeah, that Arnold and Nakaborn match, both those guys, just warriors and just great, phenomenal wrestlers. Just super impressive. You know, I know that Arnold won, but Tate Nakaborn, what a stud. I mean, the kid is so freaking good, and he's going to do so many good things at Iowa State, too. You know, and that could possibly be a battle that you continue to see
the next 4 years
at the college level. You don't know. And then Arnold shows how athletic he really is and how good he is. And, you know, it was a really good tournament, good finals of match. I will say that my biggest takeaway was having the semifinals was just so much better.
Yeah.
And having the dog bone where the four consolation matches were on the two ends, and then just in the two middle mats were the semifinals. So then, not just for me, from a announcer standpoint, calling the matches, I only had to call two mats instead of four mats, and they held it by weight, and we could. But also from the athlete's point of view and the viewer's point of view, to where we could actually talk about them, where they're from, and a little bit of their background, and spend some time actually doing our job instead of just getting their name right and briefly mentioning they're on the mat before while we're trying to watch three other mats over here. You know, so that was the biggest takeaway for me. It was awesome. I think it made for a better semifinal round. I think it was really neat. It was weird a little bit watching 1A at 9 o'clock in the morning wrestle semis. That was kind of odd because you're used to the semifinals being pretty much at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I don't know that for sure. I kept meaning to ask Louis Curtis from the Iowa High School Athletic Association, who's kind of holds up the wrestling stuff for them, if they're going to continue to like, okay, so next year then 1A was at 9, they're going to bounce to the 1:30
spot. They rotate it usually.
Yeah, and see if for sure that's what they're going to do. So then 3A was in the evening, so then they're going to go to 9 starting next year, and then 2A was at 1:30, they'll go to the 6 o'clock spot if they're going to continue to rotate that or what. So
We know about Keeter. What about this Ross kid from Fort Dodge?
Freshman.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive. You know, he that was the first time I was able to watch him wrestle in person, and I was really impressed, as well as the Mickle kid from Ames as well, too. Was, man, he's a good athlete. Ross, two freshmen in the state finals at 195. Now, granted, Mickle from Ames beat Hagerty from Waverly Shell Rock in the semifinals in overtime, in sudden victory overtime, and Hagerty's got a serious, serious shoulder injury right now, and I felt terrible. I really, really felt terrible. I felt so bad for him because he has a heart of gold, and you could tell he tried as hard as he possibly could. And I know, I'll be the first to tell you, my shoulders, they subplex and dislocate when at the end of my career all the time. And when it happens, it is excruciating pain. You ever see that movie Lethal Weapon with Mel Gibson and his shoulder would pop out? What would he do? He'd always go over. He would just take his shoulder and he'd like hit it up against a wall and kind of like put it back in. And he was just screaming. And then after a minute or so, he'd be fine. That's exactly, honestly, to a T, like what it's like. And when it happens and it goes, you could tell, like, Hagerty, that was no show, like, for Hagerty. When it happened, he had to take two injury times in that semifinal match. That was legit. And I felt bad because I understand and I felt that pain many a times. And after a while, you know, he could try to keep it going again. But, I mean, the other guy, Mickle, I wasn't very impressed with his class and how he handled that victory over Hagerty. Just kind of showboating quite a bit and acting like it was a big upset when you're literally wrestling a guy with one arm and it took you to the brink of the match and sudden victory overtime. I probably would have had a lot more respect for Hagerty than what he did. But I will say this, the kids, you know, they call him Muscles. He's good. He's strong. He's a freshman. And it's going to be fun to watch him and Ross from Fort Dodge go at it for maybe years to come.
He could be a two-sporter, Ross. Yeah. You know, we don't know in the next 3 years.
Yeah,
but
he might. He's got a great big frame. He might bump up. He might take the place of Keeter at 220 and move up to 220 next year, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But he's amazing. He's freaking awesome. And I'm sure every college coach in America is looking at him already as a freshman.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks, man.
Yep, you got it. Appreciate it. Next Wednesday, I will be here because I don't think we're leaving until Thursday, yes.
For Ann Arbor.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good.
The following week, I will be in Tulsa, and we'll just have to do it over the phone.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
All right. See you guys.
All right. Mark's appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. Back to wrap things up. And look ahead to Iowa and Wisconsin right here on the Gym Class.
Get 11% off everything at Menards. Get the last roof you'll ever need. Steel Roofing offers the best wind resistance, superior hail resistance, and can be ordered cut to your length. It installs fast and is the choice of more and more homeowners in the Midwest. Choose from 25 beautiful colors in-store or online and get 11% off. Good through February 26th. Savings are mail and rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Back with you to wrap things up on the Gym Class for a Wednesday. Coming up tomorrow, the coach Kevin Lehman will join us, and we will talk college basketball in general, and we will also look back at Iowa, Wisconsin, which comes up tonight at 8 o'clock from the Kohl Center in Madison. You can't play Wisconsin's game if you're Iowa. Get out. Do like Mark talked about as far as wrestling is concerned. Go out, score as much as you can early, and don't let Wisconsin gum up the works, because that's what they're going to try to do tonight.
I'd like to believe Keegan or Chris Murray and Aaron Euless didn't play in the loss to Wisconsin in Iowa City, an overtime game. I'd like to think that will make a difference, but 22% three-point shooting over the last four road games, that obviously has to improve.
It does. Obviously has to improve right there. And we'll talk about that coming up tomorrow. It is time for a Bowling Night in America preview, and it is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. And Mark, for the second time in 7 years, we have to announce this.
May City Bowl will be dark tonight. The Adult Evergreen League and other leagues will not bowl tonight, meaning the season is extended by
one more week. And I promise you it'll be 89 degrees.
It's very rare that bowling gets called off, but that's the case tonight.
Yeah. So there you go. Doesn't happen very often, but no bowling tonight. So, I mean, we can do this tomorrow again. Hey, there was no bowling last night. But doesn't stop you when the weather passes from stopping out, inquiring about open bowling, and also checking out the pro shop at May City.
Yep, MayCityBowlCR.com is the website. You can give them a call, too, at 362-0136.
All right. So a lot of college basketball to talk about tomorrow. We'll look back on Iowa State and Okie State on the women's side as well. And as I mentioned, Kevin Lehman will join us coming up tomorrow as well on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Todd Brommelkamp's show is coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6, and that'll take us to Iowa State women's pregame at 6 as the Cyclones take on the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Have a good night, Mark.
Will do. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Gym Class here on KGYM.
Meet Joe A.
Hi.
Joe B.
Hello.
And Joe C.
What's up?
Three everyday Joes perfecting their banking with Chase. Joe A's locking his lost debit card with the Chase.